You are now listening to the iScript of Soul Shadows 2, Message in a Bottle, by Noelle Rose. Fade in. Interior, the alcove. Tanis, on her knees, tends to a small garden in a far corner of the alcove. If you would call it a garden. Everything rising from this patch of ruined earth is bent and brown and dead. But nevertheless, Tanis digs purposefully with her trowel, tossing the wilted foliage aside. Tanis. Even the best garden gonna be having some weeds. Thunk. Her trowel hits something. She turns with a smile. But Tanis garden be having more than that. She reaches into the hole and plucks out a human skull. Her smile dissolves to scorn. That ain't what Tanis be looking for. She tosses the skull over her shoulder. Behind Tanis, with a dry rattle, the discarded skull lands atop a small pile that contains several more cast-off skulls. Back at the garden. Tanis has returned to her digging. Now a clink against her trowel, this tone completely different, almost musical. Tanis smiles, and from the hole she now pulls a green glass bottle caked with dirt. Now this be something Tanis can be using. Tanis clears some of the dirt to reveal a menacing face on the side of the bottle, eyes closed as if in slumber. Could it be lost pirate rum for Tanis? Maybe the wine of the pharaohs? No. This bottle be holding something darker. She holds the bottle towards us. On the bottle. Light flashes inside the bottle. Tanis off screen. Look hard. Look as hard as you be able. The eyes of the malevolent face snap open. Glassy but soulless and black as pitch. It ain't light you be seeing, but darkness of the darkest sort. Peering deep into the bottle, the flashes are revealed as lightning bolts. A storm rages inside this bottle. Moving deeper into the bottle reveals a house, buffeted by the storm, somehow trapped inside the most violent snow globe ever conceived. Tanis, voiceover. And this tale be called Message in a Bottle.
Super. Message in a Bottle.
And moving ever deeper into the recesses of the bottle, the green glass finally disappears. Exterior, suburban home, night. A thunderstorm rages in the middle of the night. A man in his mid-40s comes running out of the house, carrying a green glass bottle filled with various items. The shutters on the outside of the windows bang, and a sinister laughing comes from somewhere nearby. The man gets down on his hands and knees just outside of the window, in a garden filled with tomatoes and squash. He rips the tomatoes out of the ground, making room as he digs a deep hole into the soil. A woman in her late 30s appears in the doorway. She looks afraid. Woman. What's going on? Man. Get back inside, Mary. It's her, isn't it? You've been seeing her again. I said get back inside. You told me it was over between you two. You said you would never see her again. Well, I lied. I lied, Mary. Is that what you want to hear, huh? Is that what you want me to say? No, I don't want you to say anything. I want you to fix this and go back to being my husband. He is satisfied with the depth of the hole. Man, I'll fix this all right. I'll fix it. The man takes the bottle and buries into the ground, covering it with dirt. He sees a rock nearby and plants it firmly onto the spot, pushing it in to make sure it's snug. The laughter stops. The wind subsides, and the clouds that rumble above them seem to move away. The man looks at his wife. They say nothing. He stands up and walks to enter the house. Just as he passes her, he stops and turns to her. Man.
No one touches that garden.
Mary looks at him, shocked. Man.
I'm sorry.
He enters the house. Interior, suburban house, day. Super, 50 years later. A small sunlit room on the upper floor is neat and dust-free. An open, half-empty box lays on the floor, ready to be packed. Even the smallest of objects seem deliberate in their placement. Iris, late 20s, sits on a made bed. With a sad look on her face, she sorts through old photographs. She finds a photo of her grandparents. She smiles and looks closer. In the photo, Mary smiles widely while the man on her arm holds her proudly. A knock on the door. Iris turns to see her fiancé, Paul, leaning on the doorframe with a sympathetic smile on his face. Paul,
how are you holding up?
Iris. Well.
Good.
He enters and sits down next to her on the bed. They look at the pictures together. Iris shows him the one in her hand. Paul laughs.
Just think. That'll be us in 4 months.
Iris smiles. Paul gives the photo back. Paul.
I know this is a bad time to ask, but, are we still having that party on Saturday?
Iris.
Yes. Why wouldn't we? I just thought, since it's so soon, maybe you'd want it to be you and me for a while.
No, don't be silly. We've already made plans.
I know, but we can cancel them if you want to, if you don't feel up to it.
Iris smiles. I appreciate it, Paul, but we don't have to cancel just because my grandmother died. In fact, you know what we'll do?
What? We'll dedicate it to her. Celebrate her life. Paul smiles. That's my girl. He kisses her on the forehead. The doorbell rings. Paul. I'll get it. Iris returns to her photos. Downstairs. Paul descends the stairs, holding onto the rail. The rail wobbles and shakes beneath his hands. Paul. Coming! A section of the railing pops out in Paul's hand. Paul. Shit. He holds it up. The wood has rotted. He reaches the doorway and opens it to see Belle, Iris's good friend. Belle. Hey, Paul, is Iris... What happened to the railing? Paul. I don't know, it just popped off. But, you know, come in. She's upstairs. Be careful, though. Belle enters and heads up the stairway, slowly and carefully. Paul enters the kitchen and picks up the phone. He stares oddly at the rotted wood in his hands. Upstairs. Belle knocks on the door. Iris turns to see her and smiles. She stands and they hug. Belle. How you holding up, babe? Iris. I'm good. Paul's been riding my back about this whole thing like I was a sick puppy, though. Well, at least he's still riding you, right? Iris smiles and nudges Belle. Belle looks at the photos in her hand. Belle. Cute couple. Iris. Yeah. Anyway, I came to give you this. Belle reaches into her purse and pulls out a folded-up packet of papers. Iris. Oh, right. Thank you so much. I'm sorry to ask such a favor of you. Belle. Not a problem. I do it all day for strangers. Why not for a friend? Iris smiles. Thanks so much. This is really going to help me out. No problem. I also included some stuff in there about 17th century lifestyles and superstitions. Should make writing the paper a bit easier. Cool. Some of that stuff hasn't even been accessed since, like, the 1950s, so I'd say you lucked out on this one. No one is going to have this type of information. Good. Iris sets the paper aside. Belle. So you guys still having that get-together on Saturday? To my knowledge, yes. Great, because I bought some star-spangled fireworks that need the wide-open prairie that is your backyard. Awesome. You and fire. I'll keep 911 on speed dial. Belle laughs. Anyway, I'll let you get back to it. I have some more errands to run. I'll see you on Saturday. They hug once more and kiss on the cheek. Iris. All right, later. Later, hun. Belle leaves the room. Her footsteps can be heard descending the steps. Mumbling. A door opens and closes. Footsteps running up the steps. Paul enters the doorway. Paul. Hey. Iris turns to see him holding the railing in his hands, a shocked look on her face. Paul. We might have a problem. Interior. Suburban house. Day. Iris enters wearing a black dress. She holds a stack of mail in her hands. Paul enters behind her, carrying an urn. He closes the door with his foot and sets the urn on a table nearby. Paul. That was a nice ceremony. Iris turns to him, a forced smile. It was, wasn't it? She slides her shoes off near the steps and sorts through the mail. Where do you want me to put her? Iris turns to him. Right there is fine. Mama's supposed to come and get it later today anyway. What about Speedy? Remember, I'm supposed to be bringing him back today. Oh, well, just set it on the shelf in the closet.
There's a shelf in the closet?
Yeah, right? I'm sure there is. Paul goes over to the coat closet and looks inside.
Huh. Okay.
Iris smiles and shakes her head. She continues to sift through the mail until she gets to a brown envelope addressed to Mary H. Daniels. Iris eyes the package for a second before she rips it open. It's a magazine titled The Daily Gardener. She sets all the other mail to the side and opens it. Meanwhile, Paul sets the urn on the top shelf in the closet. It's a tight fit. He pushes harder and gets the urn all the way onto the shelf, inadvertently knocking over a box teetered on the corner. He picks it up. It's heavy. He opens the box and sees a small stack of magazines. He brings the box out into the light to read it. Paul. The Daily Gardener? Iris looks up at Paul just as he looks up at her. Iris. Where did you find that? Paul brings the box to her. On the top shelf. Looks like someone had a secret green thumb.
Why would she hide these?
I don't know.
I mean, if she was so into gardening, we have a garden out back that hasn't been touched in years.
Maybe it was one of those things she wanted to do but couldn't on her own.
She could have asked for help.
This is your grandmother we are talking about here, right?
Still.
Iris goes back to checking the mail. Paul gets a look in his eyes. He has an idea. He heads upstairs. Iris sets the new magazine on top of the older magazines on the box. She enters the kitchen and pours a glass of water. She stands there, looking out of the window, lost in thought. Paul comes down the stairs, dressed casually with his keys in his hands. Iris sees him. Iris,
where are you going?
I'm going to go to the home improvement store and see if I can get something to replace the banisters.
Oh, okay.
Will you be okay without me?
Iris gives him a mean look.
Yes, Paul, I will.
Just asking.
Paul leaves. Iris heads upstairs. Upstairs. Iris enters the room in the corner of the upper floor. The box of photos still lay on the bed. She sits, silently looks them over. Her attention moves from the photos to the packet lying nearby. She grabs the packet and opens it. It reads, Common Practices, Witch Bottles. She scans the page for a few seconds before setting it down on a nearby night table.
She sighs before going back to packing objects into boxes. Interior, suburban house, night. In the bedroom, Iris sits beneath the covers reading a magazine. Paul enters from the bathroom, a toothbrush stuck in his mouth.
Paul, what do you read?
Iris, excuse me? Paul returns to the bathroom, spits, and comes back.
I said, what are you reading?
The Daily Gardener. I still can't believe she would hide something like this if it were so important to her. It's not that big of a deal. At least you didn't find any Playgirl magazines, right? Paul smiles. Iris doesn't.
This is serious, Paul. Like, I thought we were really close. Why would she hide something like this? I just don't get it.
Maybe in her old age, she didn't have the strength for it. Iris shakes her head in disbelief. She sets the magazine on the night table. Paul goes back into the bathroom, rinses, spits, and then turns off the light.
What happened to Speedy?
Lana wants me to get him tomorrow afternoon. Something about the kids not being able to say a proper goodbye.
Oh.
He gets into bed and snuggles up next to her. She pulls his arms tighter around her.
You know, since I'm fixing up the backyard anyway, maybe you should start your own garden.
Me? Ha, yeah, right.
No, I'm serious. Think of it as a tribute to her. Create something for her she couldn't create for herself.
Iris thinks about it, then nods her head.
They talk softly.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It might be nice.
Great, I'll pick up some stuff tomorrow morning. What do you want?
I don't know. How about sunflowers?
Sunflowers? You would.
Do you have a thing against sunflowers?
No, not at all. They're lovely.
What else? A long pause. Their eyes both closed.
Iris. Tomatoes?
Tomatoes.
They drift off to sleep. Interior. Kitchen. Day. A bright, sunny, and clean kitchen. A breeze rolls in from an open window, blowing yellow curtains aside. An empty vase sits on the counter, and a happy whistling noise is coming from somewhere close by. Exterior. Garden. Day. Iris kneels in soil. She whistles happily as she plants sunflowers into a garden just beneath the window. Footsteps. Paul pokes his head out of the doorway. She looks up at him and smiles.
Hey, what's up?
Look who I have.
Paul opens the door completely, and a Dalmatian puppy springs out of the door and into the yard. It turns, sees Iris, and runs up to her, tail wagging, and hops on her. She laughs.
Oh, hey, buddy. You glad to be home?
He licks her face. Did your mom come to pick up the urn?
Yeah, she said she'd come back tomorrow, and we can go put her in a plot at the cemetery.
Sounds good. Speedy jumps up and down, begging for Iris's attention. Paul comes in and scoops him up.
Come on, let's leave Mommy to her garden, huh? She has a lot of work to do.
He puts the dog down and pulls a red ball from out of his pocket. He tosses it and the dog chases it. She looks up at the sun and smiles before picking up her trowel and digging another hole. Clink. She hits something. Clink. Clink. She sets the shovel down and digs with her fingers. Slowly, she uncovers a rock. She shrugs and peels the rock out of the ground, then lays the rock to the side. She parts the dirt in preparation for another sunflower when something catches her eye. She reaches down and dislodges a green object from the ground. She pulls it up and holds it up to the sunlight. It's a green glass bottle. Caked in dirt, it's impossible to see what's inside.
Iris. Weird?
She twists the glass in the sunlight.
Hey, Paul?
Paul runs over to her.
Look at this.
What is that?
I don't know, a bottle?
Just throw it away.
No, I think there's something inside of it. I can't tell, though. It's dirty.
Paul takes the bottle.
Well, let's find out.
He enters the house. Iris stands up and follows. Interior, kitchen, day. Paul sets the bottle on the sink and washes it off.
What do you think it was doing there?
Dunno. Maybe it fell out of the window here and someone just forgot about it.
Paul stares down at the bottle as layers and layers of dirt gently wash off. His face changes slowly as a menacing face appears on the side of the bottle. Its eyes are closed as if in slumber. Iris notices his facial expression and looks into the sink.
What the hell is that?
Could be one of those special Halloween bottles. You know the ones soda companies make around the holidays?
But what's inside it?
Paul tries the top. It's sealed tightly. He holds it up to the light again. The insides slowly become visible. A piece of paper, a strand of hair, and a golden residue at the bottom, with a toenail clipping stuck inside.
We're going to need some heavy-duty stuff to open that up.
Is that hair?
It must be a time capsule or something.
But why would anyone put a hair inside a... Oh, it's a witch bottle!
A what?
Yeah, it's a witch bottle. Belle gave me this packet for my thesis. It had a section in it about witch bottles. I'll go get it.
Iris exits the kitchen.
What about your plants?
I'll get to them later.
You better finish them before it gets too dark.
I know.
Paul sets the bottle down on the counter and looks inside. In the distance, seemingly appearing out of nowhere, thick and dark clouds head their way. Paul heads outside as he is summoned by the tiny barks of a playful puppy. A breeze rolls in through the open door, and the eyes on the face of the bottle slowly open. Interior, living room, night. Iris sits reading the packet. She is in the zone when Paul enters, Mr. Gonzalez in his hands, and sits next to her. So I got all your sunflowers and tomatoes planted.
Iris confused, then a look of recognition.
Oh, I'm sorry, I totally forgot about the sunflowers.
It's fine. At least now the tomatoes have a higher chance of survival.
Iris smiles and playfully hits him. He sits down next to her. Speedy jumps up onto the couch and curls up in his lap.
So what did you find?
Oh,
Iris flips back a few pages. It was common practice for homeowners to bury witch bottles within the walls of their house. It was thought to protect the house and its members, by preventing the entrance of curses and evil spirits at night. Witch bottles were supposed to remain hidden and unbroken for the duration of the victim's bloodline for fear of unseen consequences, as the belief was that curses get stronger with age.
Iris looks at Paul. He doesn't seem interested.
Well?
Well, what? What do you want me to say to that?
It has to be a witch bottle. Why else would it be buried in the garden?
I'm still thinking the time capsule idea is our best bet.
I don't know, Paul.
Paul rolls his eyes.
I saw that.
She hits him.
Hey! I'm serious about this, Paul. Why else would there be hair in the bottle?
Paul sighs, places Speedy Gonzales on the couch, and exits. He returns a few moments later with a corkscrew and the green bottle.
What are you doing?
I'm gonna open it.
No, don't open it. Didn't you hear what I just said? It has to remain hidden and unbroken.
Well, we totally just fucked up the hidden part. Might as well open it.
I guess...
You seriously believe this curse nonsense?
I don't know. It just seems too coincidental.
Paul stares at her, a look of disappointment.
I'm going to open the bottle, and nothing is going to happen.
Iris doesn't seem convinced. She sighs, giving up.
Just don't break it.
Yeah.
He puts the corkscrew into the cork. He presses it in hard. Iris looks on with both fear and curiosity.
That thing is in there tight.
Hey, Paul?
Yeah.
When we first looked at the bottle and we saw that face, weren't the eyes closed?
Paul looks at the bottle. The eyes are open and staring outwards. He contemplates for a second.
No, they must have been opened.
Paul struggles with the corkscrew again. He begins to pull.
I'm getting a bad feeling about this.
It's just a bottle, Iris.
Paul turns to Iris to say something, just as the cork pops and a horrible smell escapes. Paul leans in and smells.
Oh, it's pure ammonia in there. Someone definitely pissed in this bottle.
See? Bodily fluids, I told you.
Okay, so it could be a witch bottle. Big deal. The most we have to worry about now is getting that smell out of my nostrils.
The lights go out, followed by a tiny whimper from the dog, who seeks out Paul for protection.
What was that?
Lightning from outside. Power must have gone out. Paul stands up and looks out the window. Other houses have their lights on. He pulls his cell phone out of his pocket.
Huh.
What?
The circuit breaker must have been tripped somehow. Bound to happen, I guess. This is a pretty old house.
Paul walks into the kitchen, guided by the light of his cell phone. Sounds of drawers opening, cutlery shaking with the movement. Paul comes out with the flashlight. He shines it upward on his face.
Not funny, Paul.
Just playing with you, baby. God. I'm gonna go see if I can flip the breaker back on. Make sure all the doors are locked.
Paul opens a door beneath the steps and disappears into the darkness. Iris stands there, her hands shaking. A flash of lightning lights up the room. Her eyes go to the bottle. It's dark again. Interior, basement, night. Paul comes down the steps, the beam of his flashlight dancing around the room. He stops at the edge and turns his light to the right. The circuit breaker.
All right, let's see what's going on with you.
He approaches the circuit breaker and opens the panel door. He shines his flashlight on it, going down the row. None of them have been tripped.
That's strange.
A faint laughter comes from somewhere behind him, innocent, childlike almost. He swings his flashlight around and shines it on boxes and old car parts. Nothing. Paul pauses for a moment, waiting to hear anything. Nothing. He turns back to the circuit breaker. He starts flipping switches off and then on again. Down the row he goes, till he gets to the last one. Laughter again, from somewhere behind him, this time closer. He swings around, shining his flashlight. Nothing. He stays in that same position, curious but afraid.
Hello? Iris?
No answer. He calls to her from below.
Iris?
Footsteps from above. Iris stands at the landing to the basement.
You called?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
The laughing.
What laughing?
Paul shines the light around. Nothing still. He turns to the circuit breaker, flips the last switch. The lights come on.
That did it!
Paul closes the panel and heads for the steps. He takes one last look around before heading up the steps, completely confused. Interior, living room, night. Iris sits on the couch next to Speedy. She is visibly scared. Paul comes up and locks the door behind him. He walks over to the coffee table and sets the flashlight down next to the bottle.
I tell you, babe, that was the weirdest thing that ever happened to me.
Told you not to open the bottle.
Please, it's just an old house, probably just settling. I tell you, first thing in the morning I'm going to call the electrician, and maybe one of those house inspector guys. This place is bound to have termites. Don't know why your grandma never looked into that.
Iris frowns.
She was old, Paul. She could barely remember to take her pills. Paul eyes the bottle's clear green glass. Perfect, except for the strange contents inside. He doesn't seem to notice the face in the bottle has completely disappeared. The lights shut out again.
Are you kidding me?
Laughing from somewhere outside. Paul jumps.
That! Did you hear that?
Is somebody outside? Speedy barks and jumps onto the couch, barking towards the kitchen door.
Calm down, Speedy. It's just the storm.
Paul stands up, eyeing the back door. A strong wind picks up outside, kicking in the door to the kitchen.
What's going on?
Stay here. Interior. Kitchen. Night. Paul cautiously approaches the door. As he reaches it, Speedy jumps up off the couch and runs straight out the door.
Speedy! Get back here, you stupid dog!
Paul runs after him. He gets to the middle of the yard when Speedy stops. He scoops him up.
What do you think you're...
Paul looks up. His jaw drops and his eyes widen in horror. The clouds above his house have darkened, swirling like a major thunderstorm is forming right above him. Outside of the line of the property, however, clear skies with the moon shining bright. He backs up slowly, then turns to run inside. The door slams in his face, leaving him alone outside and leaving Iris alone inside. Interior, kitchen, night. The door slams. Iris turns around, frightened. She stands up and approaches the door. Paul stands on the other side. She sees the clouds and turns pale.
What's going on?
Iris, open the door. Open the door, Iris. She tries to pull the door open.
I can't, it's stuck.
Go to the front door. I'll meet you at the front door, okay? She nods and runs into the living room. A flash of lightning. She notices the bottle is missing. Clink, 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 clink. She turns her eyes to the open basement door. She grabs the flashlight off the table. Clink, clink, clink. She walks over to the door. Click. A beam of light points down into the dark basement. At the bottom of the steps lays the unbroken green glass bottle. Knock, knock. Iris jumps. She turns to see Paul standing at the open door. Paul, open up! She sighs and lowers the flashlight. She begins to walk over to the door when a thin and frail hand comes out of the darkness and pulls her down the steps. Paul,
Iris!
In the basement. She stumbles down the steps. Bones crack. She hits the landing, her face directly in front of the green bottle. A sinister laugh. Blood pools beneath her head. In the foyer. Thump, thump, thump. Paul throws his weight into the door. Wood cracks near the hinge.
Iris!
Thump, 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 bang! The door collapses, bringing Paul with it. He hits the ground hard, then quickly stands up. The flashlight points directly into the basement, the beam still lit. He picks it up. He aims the flashlight to find the gruesome sight below.
Iris!
He runs down the steps and cradles her head with his hands. He checks her pulse. It is faint, but it is there.
Stay with me, baby, stay with me.
A sinister laugh. He looks up, into the darkness where it is coming from. A form appears before him. A woman in her late 20s, engulfed in a flowing white dress with thick red lipstick on.
Stay away from me.
Oh, Alfred, you sure do know how to charm a lady.
Alfred, my name is Paul.
I've been waiting many years for this moment.
I'm Paul, my name is Paul.
You shouldn't have left me. Your wife can never treat you like I can. Mary doesn't understand a man's real needs.
Paul recognizes that name. Mary? He looks away.
You told me all choices had consequences. Well, you made the wrong choice all those years ago, and it's time for your consequence.
She disappears.
What? Hey, my name is Paul!
He turns to Iris. He begins to lift her up. Come on, stay with me, Iris. Creaking from all around. Crack! The sound of wood and glass breaking. A beam from nearby breaks in half and swings down, crushing Paul beneath it. Black. Exterior. House. Morning. Fire trucks and police surround the house. Men in suits pick their way through rubble and pieces of furniture. A crowd stands across the street. A car pulls up and Iris's mother gets out, holding the urn in her hands. She sets the urn on the roof of her car. She approaches a police officer. Iris's mother.
What's going on? What happened?
Storm last night. Looks like the house had bad termite rot. The whole thing just completely collapsed.
What about the people inside?
He shakes his head, not knowing. He opens his mouth to speak.
A group of firemen pick up a large beam. Beneath it, they see a hand. Firemen. Hey, over here!
The rescuers scurry to the position. They dust away bits of wood and carpet and pull out Paul's body. The policeman turns to Iris's mother.
I'm going to have to ask you to stand back, ma'am.
Iris's mother begins to cry, letting out a terrifying yell. A strong gust of wind comes by and knocks the urn off the roof of her car. It crashes to the ground, breaks open, and spills ashes everywhere. A laugh is heard in the distance, as if floating on the wind. The same wind that scatters the ashes far and wide as they slowly dissolve to dirt. Flecks of dirt, tossed with abandon. Tanis off screen.
You be trying to hide the ashes of sins past. Sometimes they be flying back into your face.
Wider. Tanis continues to dig.
She flings the dirt carelessly over her shoulder.
Just 'cause something be buried,
dad don't mean it dead. She plunges the trowel into the dirt and leaves it upright, like a dagger. She lifts the bottle.
Don't mean it won't never be coming back with a roar, or maybe a whisper you never be hearing, until it be too late.
Tanis tosses the bottle back into its hole. Tanis to the bottle.
But tonight, we bury you, put you back where you belong.
She pitches trowelfuls of dirt back into the hole. In the hole, as the dirt falls on the bottle, it is now Tanis' face etched onto the glass. The face smiles up at us. Tanis off screen.
We all be having our own sins to bury. Ain't no secret. Only difference that some of us just be practicing sin.
On the bottle. Another scoop of dirt falls onto the bottle's face.
And some of us be experts.
And Tanis laughs. Her face on the bottle winks. Fade out. This concludes the iScript of Soul Shadows 2, Message in a Bottle, by Noelle Rose. Feel free to visit us at www.iscript.com.
Our privacy policy strictly forbids the resale or transfer of any iScript product that you obtain a limited license to by downloading the script for your personal use. We have agreed with all parties that provide availability of scripted material that we will cooperate to the fullest extent allowed by law to prosecute any unauthorized user of an iScript product.